John was just telling me about how skilled the workers at Fielding were in the way that they could use their machines. John, could you just tell us about that, please?
One thing we used to do at Fielding's, we were virtually trained to become setters. We used to set our machines and also operate them, probably slightly different to just semi-skilled operators, we say, in an aircraft factory, where somebody set the machine up for them, then the operator just virtually stopped and started it, or started and stopped it, till the item was actually finished, where they were probably making thousands and thousands of one item. Whereby in Fielding's, we were probably making ones, twos, no more than three or four items at a time, what we called off, or one particular item. And we got skilled enough or taught enough to set our own machine before operating it. My biggest job was making, as an apprentice, 1,000 brass screws, which was a large number in those days. It was done on a capstan lathe, and as an apprentice I worked days. There was a night man operating my machine. I set the machine, or as an apprentice it was set for me then, but we done it ourselves after, on a capstan lathe. The turret of a capstan lathe is something like 6 sides, I believe. So it could hold 6 types of tool in each lay, in each set. The copper bar was put in first of all. One cut put along the bar. Then a cutter box put on to cut the thread. The thread was cut and finished automatically. The bolt was then parted from the main bar, dropped into a rack, and we started again doing the next one. Each item, I think the time given was 3 minutes to do one, because the time was set on it. Once that bolt was made from the machinist, from my end, it went then to a sawing machine that cut the groove in it for a screwdriver. But we done that ourselves by setting those machines up ourselves. 1,000 brass screws, machine then full of swarf, what we call swarf, or copper filings, worth a few bob to the people these days, if they could get away with it.
And you were saying that when you were working copper, that you wouldn't have used the suds as you would in the heavy shop.
No, there'd be no sud oil to be used on that, because you weren't cutting a metal as such. Copper being soft, and using the tools that we're using, they could cut into copper without using a lubricant oil, or sud oil as we called it.
And when we were chatting earlier, you mentioned that people would often have a lump of copper and a lump of lead in their toolkit. Why would that have been?
Well, in the old days, we used to carry probably a lump of copper or a lump of lead, because when you put something in the end, a chuck of a lathe, and it stuck out, say, 3 or 4 inches, whereby on the lathe end it would be turning central, the end might be just a fraction out. You could see this spinning as it spun. You could see it was out on one end. You then move the machine lathe slowly, then tap the bit that was high with the lump of lead or the lump of copper. Now, you could do this against steel, because lead or copper, being softer than the steel, wouldn't mark it as you knocked it. You could also do the same thing with the scriber out against the said item, and you could see where the gap was. If it touched the scriber or was away from the scriber, you knew which end to knock with a lump of lead or copper.
Can you just describe what a scriber was, please?
A scriber is something like a meat skewer without the thread on it. Just a ground point on one end and probably a right angle cut the other with another point on. And you could use it in a rack or use it loosely in your hand. And it was meant for marking on things that needed drilling, marking, measuring. And if you use it on a facing table, on that setup, they were always set up in line with the base of the table anyway. So they anything you put on there was accurate to that point.